Nearly 40 years before the grounding of the 737 MAX Boeing-made aircraft following two deadly crashes, the U.S. witnessed its deadliest airplane disaster just outside of Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Here's a look back and a flash forward to the positive legacy on aviation safety today because of what happened to American Airlines Flight 191.
It was a beautiful spring day, sunny, warm, started the Memorial Day weekend, people getting ready for summer. The newsroom was... Well, people were going off, early on a Friday afternoon.
Jim Bennis was the afternoon editor at WBBM News Radio that Friday before Memorial Day in 1979 when he heard something come over the police scanner.
I heard the call on the police radio. I don't know the exact words, but I heard the words crash and O'Hare. And after that, for me, most of everything was a blur. But my assistant at that time tells me I stood up, put my hands in the air, and announced that this had happened. And immediately the whole newsroom became attentive.
This is the sound of the control tower at O'Hare as Flight 191 on its way to Los Angeles within seconds of takeoff lost its left engine on the DC-10 and the plane came down. Here's an eyewitness shortly after the crash.
I was leaving my office, and I heard an explosion, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw a flame almost reaching over the office.
WBBM's Jim Bennis shares what he remembers about the information coming from the WBBM reporters on the scene.
One of the two times in my career at WBBM that I got a chill up my spine was when Bob Crawford, our City Hall reporter, who had been sent out to a hangar at O'Hare where the ambulances were being marshaled to take the injured people away. When he said on our air, well, it becomes clear now that the ambulances are not needed. Nobody has survived the crash.
258 passengers and a crew of 13, plus two people who were killed on the ground. Here's a portion of the WBBM coverage at the crash site.
WBBM Chicago News Radio 78. I'm Len Walter.
And I'm Dale McCarron.
Dale, let's go back to the two-way radio and WBBM's Don Perlman out there. Don?
Len, let's confirm what Bob Crawford was saying, that indeed they are starting to move some of the bodies away from the crash site. We talked about half an hour ago with Ed McAvoy, who is a safety investigator for the National Transportation Safety Board, and he confirmed that the flight recorder has been found, and apparently it is in good condition. Here is some of the interview as reporters gathered around and talked to Ed McAvoy with the National Transportation Safety Board right at the crash site.
Right now we're making the most sincere effort to get the people out of here. That is our first concern. And Dr. Stein has requested that, as all accidents, you mark where the people were so we know what happened. And that is going on right now. We'll be picking up valuables. I'm securing the area for our catastrophic team that is Department of Washington will be in here at 9 o'clock this evening. This is described as the worst disaster in the history. Looking at it out here, it looks like you got a terrible job of identifying anything. Can you confirm that from being out there?
That was Ed McAvoy, who is with the National Transportation Safety Board. He said that a team of investigators from Washington will be in the Chicago area at around 9 o'clock this evening. Near the crash site on 2E Avenue, this is Don Perlman.
And the investigation followed.
Within hours of today's crash, federal investigators were on their way to Chicago.
There's no way to tell how long an investigation takes. This has the appearance of having complex mechanical aspects to the incident, and I think it's going to take a little while to put all the pieces back together.
The FAA's primary job will be to determine if the DC-10 may have had some structural or design problem, a flaw that could affect the safety of the nearly 300 McDonnell Douglas jumbo jets still in service.
There was a demand that the FAA ground all DC-10s, the loudest call at the time coming from consumer advocate Ralph Nader.
In military aviation, such grounding is a prudent course of action when they find a design defect in a fighter airplane. And certainly the same practice should be accorded civilian aviation.
Dr. Joe Sweeterman is a transportation expert and professor at DePaul University. He agrees the lessons learned from Flight 191 has prevented many aviation-related deaths going forward.
No question. You look back then, and what we didn't have then, we have now, is a real standardization of how maintenance practices occurred. You take an engine off a plane, how you do that and restall it has huge effects on stress fractures, on the quality of the condition of the metal. And in this case, we found American was removing engines differently than United, and really what the manufacturer, McDonnell Douglas, recommended. And they missed lots of cues, so there's a lot of similarities, you might say, with the 737 MAX issue that just some serious oversights.
Schwederman says while it took weeks for the FAA to ground the DC-10 after the crash of Flight 191, that's not the case anymore.
No question. Back then, it took them 2 weeks to ground the airplane, and that was seen as somewhat of a rash move at the time. Now we saw, of course, the FAA really take it on the chin when they took days to ground the 737 MAX. And, I think nowadays we just don't have any tolerance for the loss of life, and that's certainly a good thing. But you look back then, you think, boy, this airplane had fundamental problems, and it took 2 weeks to ground it, and it was only grounded, this is the DC-10 I'm talking about here, for, a month or so. And we're seeing with the 737 MAX that thing isn't going to get back into the air until everybody's satisfied the question had been answered. And I also see how Boeing is responding so much differently than McDonnell Douglas here, that they're really trying to get ahead of this and to rethink the way they do training and so forth. Different world now.
He also believes air disasters are viewed differently by the public, who mourn along with those who have lost loved ones. A memorial to Flight 191 was installed near the site within the past decade by local school children.
Yeah, I think if an accident like that were to occur today, the site would be memorialized much different. You go out to Pennsylvania with the 9/11 United accident, and that site's memorialized for lots of reasons. But here in Chicago, when you have around 250 people killed in one accident, barely gets a marker by the road, and it's would be certainly different today.
40 years later, experts still consider the crash of Flight 191 the deadliest passenger airline accident on U.S. soil. Julie Mann, News Radio on 105.9 FM.